Good morning, and welcome to your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin here as we greet another day, Tuesday, August the 11th. And this is Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. Up top this morning, we're going to welcome Father Peter Scott on Skype, via Skype, later on in the show. In fact, the next couple of segments. Father Scott's going to talk about the encyclical Laudato Si. This is where we should all embrace the environment. And
You said tree huggers.
Well, yeah. He's going to take it apart, though. Father Scott will take it apart, and we'll talk about that coming up this morning. Also, okay, a couple of headlines real quick. Farmers, towns, and tribes in New Mexico slammed water intake gates shut as a sludge-laden plume of Colorado mine spill rolled down rivers. This happened yesterday.
Huh.
The other day, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency accidentally unleashed the spill. They punched a hole accidentally. They're cleaning up a mine or inspecting an old mine. It's an old gold, the old Gold King mine, it said, the abandoned Gold King mine. And so...
And let loose all the stuff?
It's Colorado and New Mexico, it says, declared stretches of the Animas and San Juan Rivers to be disaster areas as the orange-colored waste stream, estimated to be 100 miles long, churned downstream. This contains 3 million gallons of wastewater, including arsenic, lead, and other heavy metals.
Wow.
Oh, have you seen the pictures?
No,
it's
I have
orange,
not.
It's orange water.
Ew.
And it's toxic, and it's
those poor people.
Just rolling down the road. So our prayers are with you in New Mexico. That won't get to Father Cyprian and them. They're up in the mountains.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Also, Ferguson, I think, is still under a state of emergency. And prayers for them today.
Mm-hmm.
It's the anniversary of the whole thing, right? The whole Michael Brown incident. Isn't that it? A year ago. And that's what's going on now.
In Ferguson?
Yeah, Ferguson, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So they declared a state of emergency because they did have problems already. And the potential for harm to persons and property is what Steve Stenger, the county executive of St. Louis County. Anyway, a friend of mine and I were talking yesterday. Why? I understand if you grow up in a town and your whole family is there, but at some point, do you just pull up? If you're a business owner, especially, and your business has been burned once, you know, those original riots,
mm-hmm.
and now there's a state of emergency and things are getting hairy again, do you just at some point you go, you know what? You guys enjoy yourself. We're going out. Well, you can't go out west. They got toxic water going down the river, but we're going somewhere. We're going to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Wisconsin.
I don't know. At what point do you?
It
just
does
throw
put
up your
them
hands?
In a very awful place, you know, to make a decision of what to do with their business.
So prayers for the folks in Ferguson, prayers for the folks out west, and prayers today. You know what? For those two young girls in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Speaking of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
this is basically a Milwaukee suburb. If you don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where those two young 13-year-old girls...
Man.
Yeah, the Slender Man girls. Mm-hmm. They're going to stay in adult jail, in the adult court system, at 13 years of age.
Wow.
But the reason why, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Circuit Judge Michael Boren said he's worried the girls wouldn't... If he puts them into juvie... then the girls wouldn't get the mental health treatment they need, and eventually when they turn 18, they get released into the community. So five years from now. Yeah. And there's obviously some junk going on there. So he says, the real issue here, I'm quoting now, he says, if what happens in a few years, they've committed an offense that was, frankly, vicious. So these are the 13-year-old girls, because of Slender Man on the internet, told them to kill a friend.
Right, so basically he's saying they need mental help.
Big
and the
time.
Only way that they're going to get it is if they're tried as an adult. They go into the adult system,
and
they will get that help that they need.
Right, otherwise they go into juvie, and then eventually...
And they won't have that help. That's
right.
Too bad.
So, coming up, we'll move on. Father Peter Scott via Skype from South Africa. We're going to talk about La Dato Si. But right now, my question is, how can you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been?
That will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today happens to be August the 11th. It's the 223rd day of the year. And there's 142 of these days remaining until we get to say bye-bye, 2015. 'Twas on this day in 1492. Yeah, I know. Don't jump ahead of me. Columbus landed, I know, but this is different. 1492, Rodrigo de Borja. That sounded almost like Dracula there. He became Pope Alexander VI.
You did that well. And in 1860 on this day, it's the first successful silver mill in the U.S. opened in Virginia City, Nevada.
1866, the first roller rink opened up. This happened in Newport, Rhode Island. Hiya there, neighbor. We're in Rhode Island. What, you got wheels on your shoes, I see. Hiya, you go round and round. Okay, never mind.
And in 1874 on this day, Harry S. Parlamy got a patent for the sprinkler head.
Parlamy? This is going to be a habit here. It's kind of fun.
Well,
entertaining to hear you.
You give this to me like at the last minute, sorry.
I try to find the hardest ones. Parmalee.
Parmalee. What did I say?
Parlamy. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm so sorry.
He patented a sprinkler head. That's why we can all water our lawns. And it was on this date. Are you ready? 1919, the Green Bay Packer football team was founded by George Calhoun and Curly Lambeau. Named after the Indian Packing Company, the Packers.
Hey, the Packers.
That's right. And on this day in 1929, Babe Ruth becomes the first to hit his 500th home run.
All right. And let's see. Oh, this is one of my favorites. This was the day in 1984. I remember when this happened. Then U.S. President Ronald Reagan was getting ready to do a radio address, right? And he's testing out the microphones, as we always do, testing 1, 2, hello, hello. Well, he's an old radio guy, and so he just says a joke. He says, I've just signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. Everyone got a chuckle, then it made national news, and then he got a phone call from the Kremlin and said, really?
Uh-oh.
Now you know where you've been. We're going to do this and get back here. Mike and Lisa Austin, it's your morning tradition. Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. Father Peter Scott from South Africa via Skype. We're going to talk about Laudato Si on the way next. Here on your morning tradition, where we are living our faith. Good morning and welcome back to your morning tradition this Tuesday morning, August the 11th. We mentioned Father Peter Scott's going to be our only guest this morning, our main guest, because we have a lot to talk about, as always, with Father Scott, who joins us once again via Skype from South Africa and a brand new headset, too. So there's going to be much better reception than we had last time, and I think it's going to be a fantastic talk. We're going to talk about Laudato Si, the Pope's encyclical. Father Scott, good morning.
It's great to be with you, Mike.
So let's talk about, last time you wanted to touch a little bit more on the encyclical, Laudato Si. This is the Hug a Tree encyclical, isn't it, as everyone's been calling it?
That's a good way of summarizing it, sure. Now, encyclical, traditionally, is not that long nor that complicated. It's not something that the lay people cannot read and understand. If you look at the traditional encyclicals of St. Pius X or Pope Pius XI or Pope Pius XII, they're precise. They're like a developed catechism with explanations and spiritual applications, but they're not something which is too complicated or difficult to understand. However, if you look at this Laudato Si, you will certainly be very confused. You'll be very confused because you see it's calling for an ecological conversion which has to do with ecology, and yet at the same time it talks about spiritual things. You find some words which are quite nice, on the Blessed Trinity, upon the Blessed Eucharist, on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so you will be a little bit confused, say, how does this all fit together? Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to point out when we look at this encyclical, is how it fits together. Now, how it fits together is very clearly explained by Pope Francis from the very beginning, that he makes it very clear that the goal of this encyclical is to bring about a new ecological awareness and ecological conversion. And he uses this term conversion which, of course, we're very familiar with. Conversion means someone who turns back to God after having been a sinner. Then an ecological conversion is a turning back to the environment for somebody who has abused the environment. And we're all considered to have abused the environment. Therefore, we all need an ecological conversion. And we cannot be good persons if we do not have that ecological conversion. And so consequently, he points out that conversion means not just turning back towards God, not just turning back towards our neighbor, but also turning back towards the physical creation and everything else that we should be interrelated with in the physical world. That's all a part of our conversion.
Right.
Now, you can see this conversion has got absolutely nothing to do with a moral conversion or a religious conversion. It all has everything to do with the way we use the environment in which we live. And now that is one of the key problems of this encyclical. It's radical naturalism. It's all that's concerned about is the natural world in which we live. Not that there should not be some concern about the material creation that God has given to us, of course, but this concern is a natural one. It's not supernatural, and this world is not to last forever, and we are made for eternity and for everlasting life, not to stay on this earth.
Right.
So the preoccupation with this earthly world is on a purely natural level. It's not the role of the church to teach mankind how to take care of the environment or how to preserve water and how to get rid of plastic and how not to cut down trees.
Now, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a news person in the secular world. And when this came out, this actually hit in the secular news as well. And it was very warmly received. But his question to me was, are we not to take care of the planet? Were we not put in charge of the planet? Is this not good news from your, he said, from your Pope? I said, but I think the Pope is supposed to be teaching on morals and not so much on, it seems more political to me. So I hope I didn't step in a mud puddle there with it, but.
Correct. It's a purely natural level. And that's not the role of the church to teach about science or ecology or how to take care of the environment. Yeah. This is on a purely natural level. The church's mission is to teach doctrine and to teach how to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's a supernatural mission. So, and that's the first problem about this encyclical, is that it confuses the natural and the supernatural, and it is actually promoting a major naturalism by regarding as a religious obligation the taking care of the environment, which is on a purely natural level.
This seems a little Masonic to me, I'm sorry to say. Am I wrong to say that?
The element of truth in that is the Freemasonry regards God as just the architect of the universe and consequently does not have any relationship with a personal God, doesn't believe in the incarnation or in the Catholic Church. And so it's purely on a natural level. So the naturalism is the essential era for which Freemasonry was condemned by the popes repeatedly, and you can certainly see that naturalism in here. But many Freemasons would not go so far as to make the care of the environment a religious matter, which the Pope is trying to do. Now, the other problem about this encyclical is that not only is it a purely natural thing, but it uses Catholic teaching and Catholic doctrine to promote the care of the environment, which means it's turning topsy-turvy. It's putting the supernatural, spiritual realities at the service of our natural environment.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And it's using religion for ecology. And this turning around is a radical overturning of God's of the supernatural order, because it's placing religion, not just the Catholic religion, all religion, at the service of the ecology of the environment. And if we look at some of the texts in this encyclical that talk about Catholic doctrine. We can see how that's done. I can just give you a couple of examples. It's a very long document. Mm-hmm. We can't look at all of it, but I can just give you a couple of examples of Catholic doctrine, which is mentioned in the encyclical, but in the service of the environment, not to promote Catholic doctrine. For example, take the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. And the mystery of the Blessed Trinity is mentioned in this encyclical, and it has this to say: the divine persons are subsistent relations. Now that's a theologically correct statement, but he's using that for his purpose. They are subsistent relations, and the world, according to the divine model, is a web of relationships. Though he's going to say then, through this whole paragraph, that this whole universe is a web of interwoven relationships, and so consequently, we have to be in contact with all of the things that we're in relationship with, and that's what maturity is, to be in contact with God's creatures. And then he goes on to say that everything is interconnected, and this invites us to develop a spirituality of global solidarity, which flows from the mystery of the Trinity. Now, this global solidarity has got absolutely nothing to do with the Trinity whatsoever.
Right. No.
Because the Trinity is the three persons in the Godhead, and here he's talking about the world being everything interrelated with one another. He's just using then the Trinity as a step into his plan to make sure that everybody is in connection with everybody else.
So it sounds almost like he's using the Blessed Trinity as sort of like a hook. It sort of hooks you in. Oh, I hear, oh, Blessed Trinity, that's Catholic. Cool, I'm good.
He does exactly the same thing with the Holy Eucharist. And if we look at the Holy Eucharist, he has this to say. It is in the Eucharist that all that has been created finds its greatest exaltation. And he talks about the Holy Eucharist, and then he goes on to say the conclusion. Joined to the incarnate Son present in the Eucharist, the whole cosmos gives thanks to God. The Eucharist is itself an act of cosmic love. Yes, cosmic. Even when it is celebrated in the humble altar of a country church, Eucharist is always in some way celebrated on the altar of the world.
Ooh.
Now, here he's totally changing the meaning and things. What's this cosmic? And when he's not talking about the Holy Eucharist as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, whom we truly adore. When he's talking about a cosmic thanking to God, he's talking about the universe. And so he's using the Eucharist and then translating the word Eucharist, thanksgiving, to the whole of creation. And so he's using then the Eucharist to form as a step into naturalism. The Eucharist joins heaven and earth. It embraces and penetrates all creation. This is nuts. It penetrates and embraces all creation. As if the Eucharist is all creation. His basis for saying it is that the sacred humanity of Christ under the presence of under the appearances of bread and wine is a creature. But it doesn't embrace all creation. And so he's using the Holy Eucharist and this cosmic adoration and thanksgiving to then honor the whole of the physical world. It's Tayyad and Shaddai all over again.
Father, let me interrupt real quick because we're going to have to take a break and do some things, and then we'll get right back again. We're talking with Father Peter Scott on Your Morning Tradition from South Africa via Skype. We're talking about Laudato Si, the Hug a Tree encyclical.
Yes.
We'll wrap up with Father Scott in segment number two on the way in just a minute. Good morning. We welcome you to Your Morning Tradition.